Okay, we are in Romans, and we're going to transition from the first three verses, heading into verse 4 now. God increases our faith as we study and receive His Word, apply it to ourselves, not just learn what it says, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So we each need to yield our thoughts to God by faith. As it says in verse 3, Romans 12:3, it says, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And now, starting here with this, verse 4, Paul addresses the functioning of the body of Christ that involves some of these same things as being filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. As each member is led by the Holy Spirit, the body works in union, unison, togetherness. We're not, if there's bickering and fighting and greed and all these things going on, we need to work on being filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit. So it causes trouble and dishonor when the Holy Spirit moves on to something else, but part of the body of Christ starts listening to a different spirit who wants them to remain where the Holy Spirit is left. There can be the result of people trusting their own feelings and past instructions instead of only trusting the preserved, pure Bible. Inspired of God. Let's look at verses 4 and 5 in Romans 12. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. And there you can see the body of Christ in Romans. Romans written in Acts 20, so we know it existed in the Acts 20 time period. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So that's a little different wording than members of the body of Christ, or members of Christ, it says in one place. This says we're members one of another. So we are together in this. It's a unity by design of God. It's unity. If it's not that in our experience, something's not being fulfilled, not being practiced that should be, not functioning right. There's no need to criticize other saved people because they do not believe like I do, or because they do not respond to others like I do or like you do. Each one of us need to work together, do our part, pray for each other, function together in the body. The body's not just a parking lot. Then Paul, after these verses, or including them, he began to give specific instructions. Let's look first at the gifts that Paul mentioned in his first epistle to Corinth, first one that we have. 1 Corinthians, which was written one chapter earlier in Acts, in using Acts as a marker, a time marker. It was written, 1 Corinthians, written in Acts 19. And Romans, that we're studying here tonight, was written in Acts 20. So let's look back at what gifts there were back in Acts 19, one chapter before Paul wrote this epistle to Rome, to all that be in Rome. And this only applies to this one church that we read about here in 1 Corinthians, to the church at Corinth, Church of God at Corinth. The Bible gives no indication that this situation or these gifts or for anyone else but for the believers in that church in Corinth. And here's why. If you recall in Acts 18, the people in the church of God there, in Paul's meetings, the ones, I'm getting at it backwards here, the people in the meeting there, not the Jewish synagogue, but those that believed Paul's message, they were called out from the synagogues. They were believing Jews, and they were believing Greeks that had blessed Israel and were meeting in the synagogue with the rest. Remember the rest from Romans 11:7. They were meeting in the synagogue with the rest of the Jews, and they heard Paul, heard him preach, and they believed, and they came out of the synagogue. They entered into a believer's house next door, and it wasn't just next door, it was like a duplex. The wall of the house was joined hard to the synagogue with two rooms. There were two, the room that the synagogue met in and the room that the body of Christ met in, and the rest of them that came out that were called. That, during that period, they were called. There were a few still called that had been called before, no doubt, but hadn't decided yet, and they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They believed the covenants, and they were called. Paul says, if you are called in circumcision, don't try to be uncircumcision. Don't, you know, if you're called in uncircumcision, in other words, they believe, they were to believe Paul's gospel, don't try to be the circumcision, the messianics. So, in Paul's meeting there, they had to come out of the synagogue, and we've seen before in I think it's John 12:42 and John 16 verse 2, three witnesses to the fact that once somebody proclaimed Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the Son of God, they had to leave the synagogue. They were expelled. So those in the church at Corinth was one of the rooms. The synagogue was the other in this house built hard against this. Well, the synagogue was one of them. So, but they had a common wall. They were easy to hear between them. So when the synagogue met next door, they could hear Paul's meeting, including the newly believing Church of God and the newly believing body of Christ meeting together on the other side of their wall. There was no air conditioning. So the windows would have been open, making it even easier to hear what was going on in that body of Christ room. The gifts that the Holy Spirit gave to this church, this Corinth church, on the other side of the wall from the synagogue, were signs for Israel, in the synagogue right next door, in this unique situation. So, for that reason, they were given more gifts than other churches, because they were signs for their captive audience next door, Israel, in the synagogue. In fact, let's look at the scripture account of the start of that church in Corinth, starting in Acts 18, verse 1, and then we'll read from 4 through 11, verse 4 through verse 11. Acts 18, 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Verse 5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Verse 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And what Gentiles did he go to? The ones that were there, the Jews and the Greeks. Greeks had been, they were Gentiles. The proselytes had been Gentiles. So, verse 7, he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. This was before Paul's temple vision, where he was told not to baptize but to preach gospel, where he was sent not to baptize. His sending wasn't to baptize. His sending was to preach the gospel. Acts 18, verse 9, and then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So Paul addressed this audience in Corinth that came from different backgrounds, but they had now come to believe the gospel of God and had to leave the synagogue. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the risen Son of God. Now, that's not our gospel of salvation, and that's not Israel's gospel of salvation, but it was the remaining peg, the last thing that they had failed to believe that would have brought in the kingdom, actually, if they hadn't fallen by then. But you see, way back in that Acts time period, between Acts 9 and Acts 28, there were several groups. One of the groups was the body of Christ. I count four groups. The body of Christ, which was referred to as the churches of the Gentiles in Romans 16:4, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. But if you turn to, or if somebody can post 1 Corinthians 10:32, you almost have to see this, but Paul addresses one of the groups it's the body of Christ group. He's addressing the body of Christ group in Corinth, one of those churches of the Gentiles, and he says unto them, give none offense, neither to the Jews. So you got the body of Christ and you got the Jews, which incidentally, that's disbelieving Jews, the apostate synagogue. Give none offense to the body of Christ, nor to the body of Christ, he says, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Church of God was the believing Jews, the Jews that believed that Jesus was the Christ. So you've got, that would be like the little flock, the church of God. Gentiles would be unregenerate. Usually, you know, most of them were just not Jews, but they didn't want to have anything to do with the God of Israel. Then there were the Jews, and then so you got the four groups. The Gentiles are different from the churches of the Gentiles in the same way that the Jews are different from the Church of God in Jerusalem, the little flock. Those in the churches of the Gentiles had been called, they'd been the Gentiles and others, but then they believed Paul's gospel of Christ. That's in the churches of the Gentiles. Now, those in the churches of God, they had been part of the Jews, that apostate nation that included Saul of Tarsus, but then at some point they believed Peter's gospel of the kingdom to enter that little flock of kingdom believers, which is the church of God, the Israel of God. So with that in mind, 1 Corinthians 10:32, Paul said, talking to the body of Christ, it's understood, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. So you've got different churches, not all one church. Just like there's not all one gospel, there's not all one church, not all one dispensation. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, and we'll get back to Romans, Paul addressed that mixed group in Corinth as the church of God. Paul did as his manner was. He taught about who Jesus Christ is. And he taught it in the synagogue on the Sabbaths, the Sabbath days at Corinth. And we also know from the Acts record that although they started as Jews and Greeks in the synagogue, many believed when Paul preached the gospel of God about who Jesus is. And then, now if you're questioning about that particular gospel, that's Romans 1, 1 through 4. The three elements being that Jesus is the Son of God, secondly, he's the Messiah, and thirdly, he's resurrected from the dead. Then some of the gospel of God believers went further, though. They believed Paul's gospel of Christ, being baptized by one spirit into the one body of Christ. And that made for quite a mixed group in the church of God at Corinth that Paul wrote to. More than just the church of God was in that meeting for a while, not permanently. And we know Paul's meeting was a mixed group because of how Paul addressed them in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 to 20. And, you know, this dispels a lot of questions. It clears it up. 1 Corinthians 7, starting with verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. At that point, that was nothing. This was after Paul was saved, and the gospel, in a dispensation of the gospel being dispensed was the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, that we're saved by today, but it was just to the Jews and the Greeks in those in that period there. I'm trying to think of that. Both Habakkuk and Paul called that era a work. Behold, I work a work in your days which you will not believe. It's prophetic. It's in Habakkuk 1:5. But going on in 1 Corinthians 7, we've gotten down to verse 19. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. So you had a mixture that went on at that time only. It's not anymore. There's only one gospel that saves today, and there's only one church to be baptized by one spirit into the body of Christ. So when Paul addresses his epistle to Corinth, Paul simply addresses it to the church of God, those formerly or currently in the church of God. Those were who were positive toward God and what they had heard about God's workings. Paul was never called to interrogate each person he preached to regarding what they had heard so far or what they had believed. All this description of the church in Corinth is to show the uniqueness, and it was unique, and to show the reason why they received more gifts, signs to Israel than any other church is recorded to have received. So in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 11, Paul tells this mixed group, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It was for profit, not for entertainment. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 7. Just let me draw attention here to the fact that Paul preloads this list by saying that many of these manifestations of the Spirit are now no longer only for Jewish evangelism, but they're for edification, some of them, or for the entire meeting, to profit withal. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So he's beginning his shift, teaching them that these gifts that had been for Jewish evangelism, the Jews require a sign, and they're not for believing Jews, they're for non-believing Jews. 1 Corinthians 14, 21 or 22. So those manifestations of the Spirit were not for self-edification or self-aggrandizement, but rather to profit withal. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Let's see, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and many of these have a function in bringing the word of God from God to the Apostle Paul, and acknowledged by the body of Christ prophets, and put in writing and preserved through the centuries. To another, the discerning of spirits. You're getting down toward the end of the list here, aren't we? To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And lastly, to another, interpretation of tongues. Many of these gifts that they had been given were signs for Israel. Some of you may be aware of an article I did about five types of signs. And so it was not, these signs were not the same as like Moses doing the rod and the serpent, or his hand turning leprous and then back again. Different aspects of them. Signs are for Israel, according to many scriptures, including 1 Corinthians 1:22, the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. That helps define both the Jews and the Greeks there. Psalm 74, verse 9. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet. Neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. Well, after this list of gifts specifically given to the believers in Corinth's unique situation there, Paul caps it by saying in verse 11, 1 Corinthians 12:11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So it's the Holy Spirit's choice, not yours, not theirs. And the Holy Spirit willed to give this one church in Corinth more gifts than what Paul wrote about to Rome a chapter later in this Acts history. And so we see in Romans 12, verses 6 to 8, that the Romans were told what gifts there were by then in Acts 20. Romans 12, 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And when you realize that the body of Christ prophets helped bring the word of God to us, it helps understand that this is not, there's more than just the Old Testament prophets involved with the gift of prophecy. So verse 12, ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Well, that list concludes Paul's teaching the Romans about what gifts were for that part of the body of Christ at that time. We do not see anything in there about tongues, about interpretation of tongues, about healing, working of miracles, not there, about discerning of spirits, about any giving of special faith, about a special word of knowledge or a special word of wisdom, all missing by the time you get one chapter later into Acts 20. All those one-time gifts were only mentioned as being in Corinth in the Acts 19 epistle of 1 Corinthians. And they were all gone by the Acts 20 epistle to Rome. So we need to take heed and realize that when Paul said these would cease, they did cease. There was a difference. Things changed as actions progressed through Acts. That's what Acts is. It's actions, it's transitions, it's changes occurring in relation to the apostles carrying out their separate callings. There were things going on, just as things were different before and after the fall in the Garden of Eden, and things were different before and after the giving of the Mosaic Law, and things were different before and after the stoning of Stephen. So also, things were different, and as actions progress through Acts, we're now not under the same conditions that they were under on the feast day of Pentecost in Acts 2. The body of Christ has never been under the same conditions as Israel was. They're totally different and separate entities. So when you compare Corinth's gifts reported in Acts 19 with Rome's gifts reported in Acts 20, there are no signs for Israel given in Paul's epistle to Rome, or ever again, until Israel is regathered after the catching up of the body of Christ. Other than briefly in Corinth, all the other gifts given to the body of Christ were other types of gifts, many of which were for administrative purposes in the early body of Christ church, filled mostly with former Jews and Greeks, while they were still body of Christ apostles, and there were still body of Christ prophets in that church. And that's what I've got for tonight. I hope it was a help. Any comments or corrections, please bring them up.